Savior. Jesus is alive and well. Amen. Amen. Today's title of this message is we're going through the series of Revelation. Write this down. I can't wait to say this, and I'm going to say it several times in this message today. Satan is an epic failure. That's the title of my message today. Because as we're going through the book of Revelation, we're seeing in chapter 12 of Revelation an awesome thing that's going to take place as we get through it. In fact, we're going to look through the different verses here today. But if you will, if you have your Bibles, open up to Revelation chapter 12, and let's open up and let's pray over the reading of His Word and the study of His Word today. Father God, we thank You that we can come together on this beautiful day. Here it is, clear and sunny and beautiful again today. You've given us such favor in the weather as we've been meeting here outside since May the 31st. Every Sunday since then has been just like this, and we thank You for that. And Lord God, as we're here in our cars or under the pavilion or many that are watching at home, God, I just pray that You would open up our hearts right now to receive Your Word. Lord, we've worshiped You not only in the singing but all throughout this week, and we've come with an expectancy today to receive from your Word. So Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. Reveal to us Your Word today, and that we can not only have it be informational, but let it be transformational as we walk out of this place, as we drive out of this place today, as we tune from this broadcast into other things that we're going to be doing not only today but this week. Lord God, may we apply these things to our lives in such a way where it changes us, where we were going in a particular direction, and today is going to help us to go in another direction that is more in line with what Your Word says. Father God, help us to calibrate our lives to the true north of Your Word today. Whatever we veered off to the left or to the right, let today be a recalibration to, again, walk according to Your Word. And Holy Spirit, won't You speak through me, and won't You speak to us a word that's going to change our lives forever, and all God's people said amen. Well, have you ever heard of the phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees? How many's ever heard of that phrase before? Well, over the last weeks or so in these studies of the book of Revelation, we've been looking at what I'm going to call the trees. We've seen the judgments from the seals that were broken, and then also the trumpets that were blown, the different judgments that have come, God's wrath being poured out on the people of the earth that were left behind after the rapture, and the different things that are going on in the earth as we've been focusing on the utter chaos of all that's going to take place as people that are left behind will experience the tribulation. So we've been looking at that for the last couple of months or so, but we really not paid too much attention to what I'll call and what the Bible is going to be focusing on, and really started in Revelation chapter 10. It's going to go through Revelation chapter 14 as the overarching story of God's Word and how it lays out for us God's plan of salvation. Did you know that God's Word begins in the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, with the plan of salvation? God's plan of salvation began in Revelation, or rather in Genesis chapter 3, and it goes all the way through the book of Revelation. Here's the fact. All of us need salvation. If you're watching here today, if you're listening to this today, you need salvation. You can't make it on your own. I can't make it on my own. We are helpless and hopeless without salvation. We cannot do life on our own. I'm here to tell you today that you and I, we need Jesus. We need salvation. We need rescuing. And so today in Revelation chapter 12, the Holy Spirit, as He's authored this this entire book of the Bible, But the revelation, as He's revealed to John the Revelator, the Holy Spirit's pulling back this veil in Revelation chapter 12 to clearly reveal to us three key players in this mega, meta, large, overarching narrative of salvation that's been playing out since the creation of man, going all the way back to the very first prophecy of Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 3. And I'll read that in just a few minutes. Now, as we know, any good story has a compelling and well-developed set of characters. Story, as they say, and you've heard this probably before, story is king. And the components of a great story are rooted in reality. Now, as that resonates, as we think about that, if you listen to stories and you read stories and you watch movies, good versus evil. Evil is defeated and good wins. I think that's probably why the Star Wars movie franchise has been so successful. I really like Star Wars. I'm sorry. I'm a fan of Star Wars. And the reason I like it, and I think the reason that it resonates so much in me, is that no matter how much the dark side tries and they look like they're going to succeed, if you watch the movie, it seems like all hope is lost. But somehow, at the end, the good guys always pull out a win. And I love that. And I think we all love that. And really, this cosmic grand story of God in God's Word is just that. Is that the battle between good and evil, God's victorious plan to ultimately and finally redeem mankind, Satan's futile, failed attempts all throughout to usurp God's plan and steal his throne. It's an impossible proposition that Satan has, but his pride has long deceived him into thinking that it's a possibility. But here today, I'll declare it again, Satan is an epic failure. Satan's plans have failed, are failing, and will fail. Satan is on the losing side, and anyone that's with him is also on the losing side. Satan's demise is preordained, and his doom is sure. Aren't you glad to know that we're on the winning side today? If you are, let me hear you make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, Revelation chapter 12 is where we're going to, we're reading from today. And in the first six verses, there's three main characters that are going to be introduced in this overarching story of God's plan of salvation. It's almost like the story's been unfolding in Revelation. And then in these mid chapters, the Holy Spirit pauses and says, you know what? Let me introduce to you some key players here, some key characters in the story, and not just introduce them to you, but peel back the layers of it and give an understanding of who they are and why they're even here and their part in this story. So read with me starting in chapter 12, verse 1 of Revelation. It says, a great sign appeared in heaven. Now keep in mind, it says a great sign. Keep that in mind. We're going to talk about that in just a few moments. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. And its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. And the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment that he was born. And she gave birth to a son, a male child who will, quote, rule all the nations with an iron scepter, unquote. And her child will be snatched up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1260 days or 3.5 years. So the book of Revelation, as we've been looking at this over the months, is full of symbolism. And what I've tried to do, we've been trying to take these events in a literal, in these last several chapters as literal events. And they are going to be literal events that are going to take place on the earth during the tribulation. But today we see twice in the first three verses the word signs, great sign, a sign. Now signs, if you've ever driven down the interstate or if you've ever been in any sort of business establishment, signs always point to something. If you go to a Walmart, for example, you're not going to go to the Walmart sign to go shopping. You're actually going to go to the Walmart sign that's going to point you to the building, and you're going to go inside the building to go shopping. If you're getting off at an exit, you're not going to stop right at that exit sign that says, Selanese Road, get off here, and you're just standing there at the Selanese Road exit. No, the sign is pointing to that if you keep going, you're getting ready to get on that road. Signs are not the actual thing. They point to a thing. So as we look at these signs that are mentioned here in Revelation chapter 12, that we see that they're pointing to a greater reality, bigger than the actual moment, representing a much greater picture. And so today, we see these three main characters, the struggle between good and evil, and those are the three characters of the woman, the child, and a great dragon. Those three characters first show up in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to read to you this scripture, and I'm going to insert some things into this scripture to clarify who these people are. And in fact, Genesis 3:15 is the very first prophecy ever given in Scripture as it relates to Jesus Christ and what his plan of salvation is all about. So here comes the verse. Read along with me. It says, "And I, that is God, will put enmity between you, which is Satan, and the woman, which is Israel, the grafted in church, and between your seed, which is the evil and rebellious people who are enemies of Christ, and hers, which are the Jews, which are Jesus, and those who place their faith in Jesus. Now he, who is Jesus, will crush your, Satan's, head, and you, Jesus, will strike, which is Satan's, heel." Now, we know that all this is played out already, much of it. And so let's figure out who these people are. Who is the woman? Write that down. Who is the woman? Very quickly, we see from scriptures that this woman is clearly representing the nation of Israel. We see in the Old Testament, there's a lot of symbols that point to, a lot of signs that point to this being the nation of Israel. If you look in Genesis chapter 37, you see Joseph who had a dream. And in this dream, there was the sun and the moon and the stars who were bowing down to him. And that was Israel, the nation of Israel, the tribes of Israel. Israel is a man. Israel was named Jacob at first, and God changed his name to Israel. Israel had 12 sons, and all those 12 sons ultimately bowed down to Joseph, and they all became the 12 tribes of Israel. And Israel, as we know, ultimately gave birth to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now, who is the male child? Very quickly, this representation is of Jesus Christ himself. Through Israel, as I just said, God brought us this, not only the scriptures, but also he brought us the Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, as we just sung about, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus came from one of the 12 tribes of Israel. He's also a descendant of King David. He's also the one who will one day, as we just read in Revelation chapter 12, rule the nations with an iron scepter. And once Jesus finished his earthly mission, as we read here in Revelation chapter 12, he ascended to heaven. He was snatched up to God's throne. Now, who is the dragon? Very quickly, let's look at this. This is a representation of Satan himself. Who did it? By the way, did I mention that Satan is an epic failure? I'm just going to say that one more time at least. Now, Satan's original name, if you want to know anything about him, which I think it's important to know who our enemy is, because our enemy, by the way, is not someone who has a different color skin than you. Our enemy is not someone who has a different political belief system than you. Our enemy is not someone who has different thoughts, of even religious thoughts and ways about than you do. Our enemy is not a person in the flesh. Our enemy is Satan himself. And he manifests himself through these racial things and through these political things and through these religious things and so many different ways. So if we're going to get mad, let's not get mad at some person. Let's get mad at Satan himself, and let's expend our energies and channel our energies towards defeating him and destroying his kingdom. Amen? So I just say that because I want you to understand that Satan is our ultimate foe and is our ultimate enemy. But his original name was Lucifer. And there's actually a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 28 that actually describes him from his creation, because God created him, to his ultimate demise. He actually was the most beautiful guardian angel at one time that was created and ordained by God. I want you to listen to this description of him in Ezekiel 28, starting in verse 14. It says, You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, the guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth, and I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you, and I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. All the nations who knew you were appalled at you, and you have come to a horrible end and will be no more. That's the description of Satan from the beauty of his creation until his ultimate destruction to where he will be no more, wrapped up in just those 5 or 6 verses. I want you to know this morning that if you're a believer in Christ, that you're on the winning side and Satan's doom is preordained and is sure. What happened with Satan is that his pride overtook him. He thought he was greater than God. But the created is never greater than the creator. I'll just stop and say that for just one more moment. I want to pause for that because I want you to understand that you were created by God. I was created by God. And there's no thing or no person that is ever greater than its creator. You're not greater than God. You don't have the corner on the market on knowing anything or more than God does, nor do I. So I'm here to say to you this morning, listen, you may not understand all of God's ways, but as I said a couple of weeks ago, sometimes God just reserves the right to be God. And we need to let God be God and put our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and the things that we don't understand, he'll reveal to us by and by, one day when we see him face to face, or maybe sometime on the earth. But until then, let's just focus on what we do know. Let's walk out what we do understand, which I think is enough. And God will help us with that. Amen. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15 gives us a little bit more insight into what Satan was thinking. It says, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost high of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realms of the dead, to the depths of the pit." You see, Satan was created with a free will. And freely he chose to rebel against God. And he convinced a third of all of the angels to join him. It just helps you to know how subtle and how convincing Satan can be even today. That he would fool even a third of all the angels to say, "Hey, I'm going to defeat God. Are you coming with me?" What a deceptive, creatively deceptive creature Satan is. And you've got to be careful with that because he'll deceive you today. If he can deceive a third of the angels, he can certainly deceive you. But the Holy Spirit gives us that discernment. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that gives us discernment against all the wiles and the plans of the enemy. Amen? So these third of the angels and Satan joined him, but they were defeated. They failed, and God kicked them all out of heaven. Now, Job 38 says that Satan and all of the angels were created sometime before the foundation of the earth. And at some point after Adam and Eve were created, Satan went to tempt them and into sin. And this is where God proclaimed the first prophecy, as we read in Genesis chapter 3. When Satan heard that prophecy, that his offspring, one of Adam and Eve's offspring, was going to crush him, it was from that moment on, all of his efforts have been to thwart God's plan. Think about this. He had Cain kill Abel. He had Pharaoh kill all the Hebrew male babies. He had Saul frequently try to kill David. He had Haman try to kill all of the Jews. He had Herod kill all the males under age 2. He had Satan even tried to tempt Jesus. Even Satan tried to influence Peter to try to keep Jesus from the cross. All of these are not just standalone stories that make interesting Sunday school lessons or interesting sermons. But they're all tied together in this grand arc of God's great cosmic plan of redemption for you and for me and Satan's attempt to stop it. As we look at last week and as we just read in Isaiah 14, Satan was kicked out of heaven when he rebelled. But Satan still has access to God's throne. Did you know that? Did you know that even now that he's able to go into this some sort of heavenly council, some area where God and the heavenly council are there and he can come and make accusations against us to God? That's why that we know him as the accuser of the brethren. He comes and makes accusations against you at this certain heavenly council. The Bible says, in fact, right now, that he is presently the prince of the power of the air, and he's been given a wide range of authority and freedom of movement in that domain. But with this second loss to Michael, the archangel, in Revelation chapter 12, Satan completely loses his access in heaven. So we see that right now he has access to the throne. But in Revelation chapter 12, there's a point in time about 3.5 years into the tribulation where God finally takes Satan by the scruff of his neck and drop kicks him out of heaven onto the earth. His demons are also cast down on the earth. And at that point, it goes from the tribulation to the great tribulation, because things are going to get much worse now that Satan is stuck on the earth. Have you ever been in a work situation? Now, I don't want you to say this out loud because your boss may be sitting next to you or may be watching this or whatever. But have you ever been in a work situation where you know that things are going to be different when the boss or the owner shows up to the company? Everything is just going great, and all of a sudden word gets out, the boss is showing up, the owner of the company shows up, and what do? You straighten up, don't you? You clean up your desk, you make sure you do your work, right? You make sure that you punch in at the right time, you punch out at the right time, and boy, you are a straight soldier doing your thing. And have you ever been in a situation where maybe that boss or the owner of the company is really kind of a booger? They're kind of in a bad mood all the time. They come in and just change everything. They're never happy, all of that sort of thing. All that situation, that's what's happening. That's going to be happening with Satan. That's just a mild version of what's going to happen when Satan shows up on the earth. Here comes the guy that was kicked out of heaven on the earth. Uh-oh, Satan's shown up. It's getting ready to get pretty bad, because you know what? Satan's going to be furious. He's going to be cornered. He's going to realize that things have just changed after a millennia-long access to God's throne has been closed off to him. He sees the writing on the wall. After failing to keep Jesus from coming into the world in order to reconcile us back to God the Father, and after failing to destroy the church before they could spread the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ on the earth in these last 2,000 years, he's now going to shift his focus back to destroying the Jewish people. And that's what we see in the book of Revelation. Because if you see, starting in Revelation chapter 12, if Satan can destroy the Jewish people, if he can do that, none of the other prophecies and the promises to Israel that are all throughout the Bible of a future kingdom of earth will come to pass. Satan is going to do all that he can to nullify God's word going forward. In the Old Testament, Satan's fury was focused on one group, the Jews. And since the first century AD, in the New Testament, his influence of world leaders, cultural forces, governments, and world events to persecute and to kill two distinct groups. Not only are the Jews, but guess what's been added to it? We as Christians have been added to it. Have you noticed that anti-Semitism and anti-Christianity are stronger than ever before? Why? Because Satan is behind it all. His hate and disdain for anything that God has anointed, ordained, and set apart is blindly put a hook in his mouth and is leading him against all hope to Satan's ultimate demise. So now we see him shifting his full attention against the destruction of the Jewish race, and he's going to keep the kingdom of Christ and his millennial reign from coming. Let's continue reading in Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. It says, when the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman. Remember, the woman is Israel, who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and a half time. In other words, 3.5 years, 1,260 days, out of the serpent's reach. Now, although Satan keeps losing, his pride never lets him give up. At this midway point of the tribulation, Satan's full fury is unleashed on God's chosen people, the Jewish race. But God will prepare a place, the Bible says, for them to escape and be protected. Somehow, some way, for 3.5 years, they will be sheltered against Satan's attempts to obliterate them. Many believe this to be a place called Petra. It's an ancient rock city built in the desert mountains of modern-day Jordan, just south of the Dead Sea. It was discovered back in the 1800s again after being unknown for very many centuries. I don't know if it's that or not. All I know is this, that we do know that the people are going to flee to this place that God has prepared for them or will prepare for them. And Satan is going to chase after them. And it also says he's going to attempt to flood them out. It could be a literal flood. It could be a flood of an army. I don't know. But what's going to happen is God is going to open up the ground and swallow up this flood that's going to come against them. And Satan's going to realize that whatever attempt that he has to try to obliterate the Jews, he's going to realize that he can't touch the Jews. And so then he'll turn his fury to attacking the rest of God's people. What do you mean the rest of God's people, Pastor Brian? Well, remember several weeks ago, we talked about, we answered the question, can people still get saved during the tribulation? And the answer is yes. As we see, the fifth seal that was broken was the martyring of the saints. What saints are those? It's the saints that have accepted Jesus after the rapture. There's people that are going to come to know Jesus after the rapture. Remember the two witnesses from last week. They're going to be proclaiming Jesus Christ during those first 3.5 years. You can speculate as to who it is. Moses, Elijah. It could be several people that you could speculate. All I know is they're going to be not, the Antichrist is not going to be able to touch them. And they're going to proclaim the gospel. Remember the 144,000 Jews that God is going to seal them, put some sort of seal on them where they can't be touched. And they're going to proclaim the gospel. There's going to be the gospel preached during the tribulation, and people are going to get saved during the tribulation, but they also are going to be martyred by the thousands. And can I just say this in such a way where it doesn't sound awful, but I hope that they're martyred by the millions. And the reason I say that is that means that millions of people have received Christ during the tribulation. I say that in that way. I don't want anybody to get killed, but I want there to be busloads after busloads after busloads, millions upon millions coming into the kingdom during the tribulation. But we know this, that Satan is going to turn his attention to those Gentile tribulation believers after he sees that he can't touch the Jews, that are going to be scattered throughout the earth, and they're going to continue to be martyred for their stand for Christ during this most horrific time that the earth has ever experienced. So we see these three key players. There's Satan, there's the nation of Israel, and there's Jesus Christ. But did you know that also it's mentioned here in Revelation chapter 12 that there's some more key players? Those key players are you and me. We are key players as well. How? Let me just read to you in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, some more key players. Listen to this. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed," notice past tense, not that they will triumph, but they triumphed. They already have triumphed. It's a done deal. This is past tense. This is a report of what has already happened. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death. That's talking about you and me today. That's talking about the body of Christ. Since Satan is currently accessing God's throne and he's throwing accusations against us, did you know that there's three things right now that we can do to combat and triumph Satan? See, what we've been looking at is these things that are going to happen in Revelation. But I always like to bring this back around to the things that are how we can apply them today. And so today we see in this scripture three things that we can do to not only combat, but to be more than a conqueror and triumph over Satan. If you've been attacked and you know that it's not coming from God, because God doesn't attack us with evil stuff like that, and you know that Satan is attacking you and coming against you, there's three things that you can do today to come against him, to combat against him, and to triumph over him. Write these down. First, we triumph by the blood of the Lamb. Let me just say this morning that Jesus, the Lamb of God, his sacrificial death on the cross paid our debt and won our salvation. If you don't have Jesus in your life, that means that you haven't accessed into his account, into that paid debt where you can access it and say, "Lord, I need you to forgive me of my sins." But when you do and you confess your sins today and you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he forgives you of your sins because of the blood that he shed on the cross. God says that's sufficient. That takes care of it. The price has been paid. And so he stamps this paid in full stamp on our hearts whenever we receive Jesus. So we ask Jesus into our life knowing that the work has already been accomplished. Aren't you thankful that the work for our salvation has already been accomplished because of what Jesus has already done to win our salvation? Aren't you thankful this morning for that? You know, if we receive the gift and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then God views us as sinless and debt-free. I want you to listen to this. The enemy's accusations no longer stick. The enemy's accusations no longer stick. Everything that you have done in your life before the blood of Jesus, as you're covered by the blood of Jesus, the enemy's accusations no longer stick. Folks, you're under the blood of Jesus. You are viewed in God's eyes as sinless. You are a new creation in Him. And every accusation that Satan would try to put on you no longer sticks. Give God praise today. So we triumph by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, not by works, lest any man should boast, but by the finished work of Jesus. But we also triumph by the word of our testimony. By the word of our testimony. I have a different testimony than you do. You have a different testimony than the person that you're sitting next to. We all have different testimonies. How we started and the journey that we've been on is different for every one of us. I can give my testimony in it's such a way where it's so real to me because it's my testimony. I can relate your testimony to someone, but it may not be filled with as much passion or intensity or reality because I'm just relaying your testimony. But oh boy, when I give you my testimony, I can tell you from the depths of my heart what God has done for me and how we live out our faith, our testimony in a fallen world. It matters. How we live out our lives every day in the words that we say and the thoughts that we think and our actions and our choices and our decisions and our goals and everything that we do, how we live out our life in a fallen world around people that don't know Jesus, it matters. None of us can live our lives perfectly, and we're not expected to. How many has had a perfect life? Don't you dare raise your hand, because you're lying, and that means that you automatically have fallen into the imperfect category, because not one of us has lived a perfect life. But Christ in us, as we strive towards the mark, as we strive towards that mark of the high calling that we have in Christ Jesus, as we repent when we fail, as we trust in Jesus to pick us up when we fall, and we will fall, as we live our lives for God and His purposes, we will overcome the power of sin in our lives. We will overcome discouragement. We will overcome temptation. We can leverage our trials and our testings for God's glory. We can overcome as we struggle, as we persevere, all the while keeping our sight in sight, the return of Christ for His bride, the church. The Bible says that we've been made more than overcomers through Jesus Christ. Jesus promises to never leave us or forsake us. And thank God that He's given us His Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to empower us to be those overcoming conquerors through Jesus Christ. Amen? So by the word of our testimony, how we live out our lives, it's important. And God can help you with that, not to live it out perfectly, but to live it leaning into Him and for His glory. Here's the third thing that we see in our text today that'll help us to not only combat the enemy, but to defeat him at every turn. And that is this, that we triumph over Satan in our death. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor death, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, there's a verse that says, "O death, where is your triumph? O death, where is your sting?" Death has no hold on you. Death has no hold on me through Christ Jesus, because in Him we live forever. You know, Paul says, I'd rather be in heaven with the Lord, but hey, you know, I'm going to live here, because I know I could be more useful. But whether in death or life, I'm still going to be all right, because I'm going to be with Him and He's going to be with me. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ, not even in death. We may not be called to die a martyr's death today, but we are called to die daily, the Bible says. Galatians 5:24 says it this way: "Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and with its desires." The Bible says to take up your cross daily and follow Him. That's dying to yourself. That's giving up all of your goals and all of your aspirations and dying to those things for the greater cause of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Folks, each day that we choose to die to our own sinful and selfish desires and allow God's purposes to work not only in us, but through us, is a day that we triumph over the enemy. So how do we conquer the enemy? By the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and as we die to ourselves daily. You know, though Satan is known as the accuser of the brothers and sisters, he's ultimately, can I say it again? Satan is an epic failure. Nothing pleases me more to say than he has a limited and short-lived jurisdiction of power and control and will soon meet his much-deserved demise. As we overcome by the cross of Calvary today, as we walk out victoriously, our lives lived for Christ, and as we have a willingness and a choice to die daily to the ways of the world, we join with the fellowship of the saints of Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and we can look forward to a future that gives us guaranteed victory over the epic failure, which is Satan. I want you to bow your heads in prayer with me today as we close out. Father, we thank you here today that we can come together in this place and worship you and rejoice in you. I pray, Lord God, that today those that are listening within the sound of my voice through the broadcast on Facebook Live, those that are here in this parking lot today under this pavilion, I pray, Lord God, that you'd help us today to understand, to realize that we are more than conquerors through Jesus, your finished work. And by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ and by the word of our testimony, how we live out our lives as we die daily to you, as we repent of our sins and allow the holiness and the purity and the righteousness of Christ to take charge of us, to take hold of us and to work through us so that everything that we say and do and think will be pleasing to you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, help us to know that as we do these things, that we're not only going to have, we're going to combat the enemy, but we're going to defeat him. We're going to put him under our feet where he belongs, and we're going to be more than conquerors through you, Lord Jesus, who've already fought the battle and won for us. Father, every struggle, every situation, every temptation that we have in our lives today, Lord, we give that over to you. We lay it at your feet, and we repent of our sins today. Oh, Father, help us to place our faith and trust not in our works, not in our occupations, not in our relationships with people, not because we're an American, not because we pray, not because we read the Bible, not for any other reason, but that we placed our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and we repent of our sins, and we confess our sins to you. And today we ask that you cover us today and wash us clean with the blood of Jesus Christ so that by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ, we are saved. That helps us to be a conqueror. By the word of our testimony, Father God, instead of speaking out the negative, instead of speaking out the sorrow, instead of speaking out the struggle, instead of speaking out the frustration, instead of speaking out what the Democrats or the Republicans or the people of different colors and the different agendas that are going on in this world today, instead of speaking out that sort of stuff and being part of that conversation, Father, help us to be part of the conversation that by the word of our testimony that we can declare your goodness, your greatness, your holiness, your provision, your salvation, all that you are, Lord God, that we can speak life into these things that are so much death right now. God, by the word of our testimony, by our lifestyle, by our actions, oh God, that we would represent you and be an ambassador for you to a struggling, lost, and dying world. And Father, every day that we would die to ourselves. Help us to die to ourselves, Lord God, every day, and live for you. Now, Jesus, if we prayed this prayer and we've repented of our sins, in fact, I want to ask you this morning, if you've listened to this, he's like, man, Pastor Brian, I need to ask Jesus in my life. I've never heard anybody say it like this before. I need who you're talking about. I need what you're talking about. Just say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come live in my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Wash me clean of all my sins by your blood and make me a new creation in you. Hallelujah. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, I want you to put something in the comment section and that says, I prayed it and I meant it. Give us maybe your contact information where we can reach out to you and make sure that we get a Bible in your hands. Make sure we can point you to the right church to go to where they're preaching the word, where they're preaching Jesus, and where you can grow up in your relationship with the Lord. No matter where you're viewing today, whatever part of the country, there's a Bible-believing church, I believe, in your area, and we can hook you up with that body of believers. So I want you to reach out right now if you would. But if this word has encouraged you today, too, I want you to also remember that you can share this message with all your friends on Facebook. After this is done, just hit that share arrow and share it with all of your friends and let some folks maybe that you know needs to hear this message hear about it. We're going to meet again next Sunday as we wrap this thing up today. Right here at 10 o'clock, I'm going to do Facebook Live and gather here for another Sunday. And by the way, don't forget, next Sunday is Communion Sunday, so make sure you bring your elements and have them ready, some juice and a cracker, whatever, if you're home. We'll have some elements here for you as well. Also, we're meeting online on Zoom with the youth and the children and our life groups together, so access that. If you want to know more about that, just reach out to us either on the comment section or if you're here. You can see the phone numbers where you can text us. And we'll make sure and get you signed up and hooked up with some of those groups as well. Tomorrow, right here into this shady area, we're going to have, we did this last month, we're going to do it again tomorrow. We're going to just simply have it's called a cookout outreach. And we're going to just reach out to our community for folks that want to have a hamburger and a hot dog with all the fixings from 11 a.m. until 1:30, free of charge, just to let folks know in our community that we love you and we're here for you. And so if you want to come be part of that, we would sure love to have you. And we're going to be here at 11 o'clock. If you want to help out, if you want to grab a bite, you're welcome to come as well. And we'll see what we can do to just love on some folks that are going to show up as they're eating under the picnic shelters and just connect with them and just let them know Jesus loves them. Again, no agenda except just to let them know Jesus loves them. No charge for the food or anything like that. Thank you for your faithfulness and your tithes and your offerings and your continued giving to that as we are continuing to support our missionaries. We're continuing to support the probably 30 missionaries that we support throughout the world in our country and also worldwide. Thank you for your faithful support. Outreaches like what we're doing tomorrow as we're reaching out to our community and handing out tracts and witnessing. And we're going to be doing those again in the near future. And other things that we do to just be a blessing to our community. Every dollar is converted to a soul. I promise you that it's spent well. So thank you for your faithfulness with that. I just want to say to you, as you're viewing here today, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. We'll see you next Sunday at 10 o'clock. Please share this with others that are your friends on Facebook. And God bless you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.